Welcome to A World Powerfully Transformed, a new podcast from Unity on Cape Cod. We are creating community, celebrating love, and transforming lives. In this special series, we will bring you exciting, positive spiritual teachings, as well as thought-provoking interviews with guests from a diverse spectrum of the greater community. Now let us join Reverend Tony for this week's presentation.
Welcome to the Unity on Cape Cod podcast. I'm Reverend Tony Cryer, the spiritual leader here at Unity on Cape Cod. We are part of Unity Worldwide Ministries, which has a vision of a world powerfully transformed by the growing movement of our shared spiritual awakening. Each week, I will be bringing you special guests, and we'll be talking about current issues and topics that are impacting our lives and how we can take a spiritual approach to transforming our world. So welcome. Come on in. Okay, welcome back to our program, A World Powerfully Transformed. This week, my guest is Dr. Jess Armine. And he's a good friend of mine, also a member here at Unity on Cape Cod. And we're going to be talking about the spiritual basis of healing. Welcome, Dr. Jess.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to your audience.
Oh, so glad you're here.
Very, very, very happy about doing this. Thank you.
Excellent. And so I just wanted to introduce basically to you what I'm thinking today would be the course of our conversation.
Sure.
Because we are in Unity, and we're Unity Truth students, I want to talk about the basis of healing. Unity, as you know, started from not only Myrtle Fillmore's healing of herself, but the Fillmore's ability to heal others through the power of prayer and the power of their mind, and their ability to teach others to heal themselves as well. Because back in their day, there wasn't as much information and as much really good medical services.
True.
So just to start us off, I'd like to read something from the Revealing Word. To heal, according to Webster's Dictionary, is to make hail, to make whole or sound. And to Charles Fillmore, it's to bring forth the perfect Christ man that exists in each one of us. A healer is one who heals the mistakes, the errors in man, and restores him to his original sinless or perfect state. The healer is the focal center of faith, and through him, faith reaches the patient directly or by means of someone very much interested in him. A natural healer, which is what you are, I would say, right?
Clearly.
A natural healer is one who has great compassion and a yearning to help humanity out of its errors and all of its suffering. When one centers this state of in the state of consciousness, a healing virtue pours out that changes all discord to harmony. Healing is the restoring to original purity or integrity. The first step in all spiritual healing is to believe, and the next step is openness and receptivity to the stream of healing life. Through the exercise of faith and our words, our spiritual quality is fused into unity with the power of Christ in us, and the work is miraculously accomplished. And then he goes on to say, you're going to find this quite interesting, I would think. All healing is based on mental cleansing.
It is.
So as a healer, and I consider you a healer.
Well, thank you.
What do you think about that statement? All healing is based on mental cleansing.
It's accurate, but let me put some of this into perspective.
Okay.
I've noticed that I've been in practice over 40 years, and I've noticed that there is a divide between spiritual and, let's say, physical or medical, and people either choose one or the other, and if they're not disparaging, but ignoring the spiritual side of things, they're not going to achieve complete healing. And everybody looks for the scientific placebo-controlled double-blind study because that's considered truth. I don't agree with that, but that's besides the point. In 2013, a doctor named Robert Navio, who's an MD, PhD, at the University of Southern California Medical School, who's the head of mitochondrial diseases, came out with a paper called The Cell Danger Response, which is the basis of all illness. What happens is that's what happens to your cell without getting deep into it when it's attacked. But when that first came out, a colleague of mine gave me the paper and said, make it simple. Took me 3 weeks to read the paper. But what I did notice is that there were three basic areas that injured a cell. One, toxins, as you might expect. Two, microbes of all ilk, you know, bacteria, viruses, and so forth, which makes sense. But equally, and Dr. Navio proved this on a scientific basis, that the psychological, emotional, and spiritual aspect of someone, if that is discombobulated, to use a scientific term, will injure the cell just as much as if you poured mercury down their throat.
Wow.
So for those people who are either forced or don't consider the spiritual aspect of healing to be important, there it is on a scientific basis. Is it important? It's critical.
Wow. Excellent. Well, I just want to break in there because I like the scientific term discombobulated.
Yeah, it's an all-encompassing term and quite accurate.
I've seen many people who have been making great strides in with very difficult diseases, but emotionally they had no support.
True.
The doctors and nurses and technicians and were all very negative and didn't give them a lot of emotional and spiritual support. And what would happen, luckily, is they would come to me or someone else, mm-hmm, for pastoral counseling or some other kind of holistic counseling. And all of a sudden, their health improved dramatically. So it wasn't that the medicines weren't working. I know a lot of people say, don't listen to the doctors. Just go to some natural person.
Right.
And I don't feel that that's the right approach.
It
like
is
what
not.
You were just what you were just describing makes so much sense, is the balance of both, including both aspects.
That's what's considered holistic care. Holistic care is not swinging dead chickens over somebody's heads and using crystals, okay? It is the best of all worlds. You have to have the best of traditional, non-traditional, and spiritual medicine if you want to heal. What's the proportions? That's on an individual basis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but unfortunately, in this society, we are asked, either by healthcare providers or families or by our own lack of knowledge, to choose between either traditional medicine or non-traditional medicine, and never the twain shall meet. And I will blame a lot of the healthcare providers for that, because they don't play well with others.
Mm-hmm.
And they think what they're doing is the end all and the know all. And the fact is, we live in a society that is replete with chronic illnesses that are being managed and not cured.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have had the experience of a member here who had basically a terminal diagnosis of cancer, was hospitalized. And through the effort of prayer, She was, I remember, she was on a ventilator. By the next morning, she was off talking to you.
Yes.
And between the interventions that I gave her to help balance her physiology and the prayer and the Reiki and her own commitment to doing that work, all of the work, not just prayer, but all of the work, that she is now, remember, she came out of the hospital, 180 pounds, it was mostly water, went down to 125, was not able to breathe without oxygen. Now she's out walking and driving her car. Okay, that is a miracle. Is it one thing? No. Is it a multiplicity of things, including faith? Because faith if faith and belief and acceptance can be used sometimes interchangeably. And if someone accepts a course of treatment, understands it, and says, this will heal me, they will heal. That's using faith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. I want to stop you there because a lot of people think faith is, I believe it even though I don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not talking about that kind of faith. We're talking about the faith in, I've been opened up to a new way of thinking. And my mind has been cleansed from the negative thoughts about my body. Mm-hmm. And now I believe I can heal because I have this information. So it's actually more understanding and more knowledge that creates a deeper faith. Would you agree with that?
I completely agree with that. There's many times when, what I like to think that I'm very, very good at is explaining concept, very complex concepts in very simple terms. Because I believe in Albert Einstein saying that if you can't explain it to a six-year-old, you don't understand it well enough.
Nice.
And if someone understands, generally speaking, the overview of this is the way that this heals, you know, without me getting my ego in the way and starting to use big medical terms. But if I just explain it, they sit there and if it makes sense to them, if it makes sense to their spirit, okay, they will heal that way. What is that? Is that, you know, we can separate it out and say, well, that's faith, that's belief, that's, you know, and as a healthcare provider or a pastoral counselor, you have power. And that power, when you have the intention of having someone be the best that they can be and you're their advocate, then whatever comes out of your mouth, whatever construct you give to them, they'll heal by it because they feel it. And they start accepting their role, which is mostly a spiritual role.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is why Unity's been so successful, I believe, is because it came from Myrtle Fillmore's direct experience of using the power of her mind to heal. It was an idea that I'm a child of God, and therefore I don't inherit sickness. So all these diseases they told her she inherited, mm-hmm. all of a sudden, they disappeared. It took a couple of years, but that's not very long.
No, it's not.
For tuberculosis
exactly.
To disappear. And so this came from a personal experience. And this is why I love what you do, because we actually have some of the same people in common. Some of your patients
yes.
are my congregants.
Mm-hmm.
And they're using both aspects of healing in their life. And it's one thing to them, really.
Yes.
Because the physical and the spiritual have come together in their mind. And this is what Myrtle says in her book. I want to read a little bit from How to Let God Help You.
Hmm.
And this is like her classic. For me, this is a really amazing book. And she says, in the chapter called The Healthy Channel, which is what I believe you are, think of your organism as being the pure life and substance of spirit made manifest. So you are the pure, your organism, your body, is the pure life and substance of spirit made manifest. Keep your mind filled with joyous, constructive, beautiful, health-producing thoughts, and maintain harmony in both mind and body. When your mind is peaceful, The healing energies flow through your whole being freely and abundantly. Mind is omnipresent, and it is through letting that same mind that is in Christ Jesus be in us that we transcend the limitations of the material mind. So I believe that we all have limiting thoughts about our body.
No question.
And about ourselves. However, this idea of seeing your body organism as pure substance of life, pure spirit, is that something that you actually can employ in what you do?
It's the terminology.
Okay. Yeah.
As you well know, being a pastor, that
yeah, my terminology is different from yours.
No. And the point I'm about to make is the fact that if we call God in different religions different names,
yes,
I think God looks at us and giggles. Okay, because he looks at us because he's a parental figure and says, "Okay, guys, you know, head towards the divine and just don't hurt each other." Okay, I mean, and everything will be cool. And I don't care if you call me Allah, you call me Yahweh. It makes no never mind to me. Okay, just be good people. Okay, that's kind of the basis of what I think. Now, when I'm working with somebody, if I tell them, you know, you're nothing but thought itself, or if they're not ready for that kind of thought pattern, goes right out. So what I'll do is I'll add in the spiritual aspects depending on what their individual understandings are, what their needs, and what they're ready for. You have to realize most people are being told by advertising, okay, by their doctors, either purposely or due to ignorance, that this is the way and this is how you're going to heal. And wherever you get to, that's good enough and we'll just manage it. And then other doctors saying, you follow my program and only my program and you're going to heal. And they often don't. Okay. And the people who heal by pure spirit or pure faith, there's certainly tons out there, but you'd have to let go of all those years of training that, you know, I have cancer and I have this time to live and, you know, get your affairs in order, and you're accepting the fact that you're going to die based on someone who really doesn't understand the fact that you can heal in many different manners. So the way I focus this into my practice is, you know, assessing what each individual needs when they're ready and then turning them on to whatever particular path is necessary, and whether I'm using different kinds of therapists that do things like transformational healing, which is more spiritual techniques, or Reiki, or whatever. As they enter into that and they see the efficacy of a combined therapy that's going to heal their physiology as well as their spirit, they start making great strides.
Mm-hmm.
So as a clinician, my job is to coordinate and make sure that all parameters of healing a cell, in other words, getting rid of the toxins, getting rid of the microbes,
mm-hmm.
and balancing psychology, emotions, and spirit, okay, I have to be the one that, because of, they're not in a position. The fact is, in this society, people, patients, things are so fragmented by specialists that the onus of diagnosis and treatment is on the person who is the least trained to do it, and that's the patient themselves.
Right.
Or the families.
I know. That's one thing that, you know, my wife's from Colombia, and mm-hmm. one thing she noticed is we have a lot of advertisements for pills, for medicines, for medicines that only doctors can prescribe.
Oh, of course.
So why are they advertising to patients or prospective patients?
Simple. If you... the patient drives it. You have a doctor who has been forced into 10 minutes per patient, okay, to include his documentation time or her documentation time. Okay, somebody walks in and says, I want X medicine because I saw it on TV. The doctor will sit there and say, you got insurance? Yeah, okay, that'll pay for it. And then goes through in his or her head the contraindications, the indication, and says, okay, phew. Now, my son takes a medication called Nuvigil. okay? And it's something to help you wake up. If you get the brand name, it is $3,600 a month for 30 pills. You do the math. Generic is $1,800 a month. Okay?
Okay.
And it's ridiculous. And fortunately, you know, insurance will pay and you pay a copay. But you're talking about those medicines you see and you look at this thing for rheumatoid arthritis and you see these wonderful people jumping around and having a good time. And of course, if you close your eyes and listen, you'll hear all the side effects. You know, your left toe is going to fall off.
Sure.
You know, you're going to lose blind. But you don't. They know that you pay attention more to what you see than what you hear.
Right.
So if the patient comes in asking for the particular medicine, the doctor has more of a tendency to prescribe it.
So this is back to our original point, is that the why, you know, what you were describing is why we are advertising to the patient at all, is because the onus of diagnosis or healing or choosing paths of healing has been put on the patient.
Right.
And instead of helping them, they're making them responsible for their treatment, which they're least qualified to do, right?
And they chase symptoms.
When they chase symptoms. So I've heard you mention something called a bio-individual approach.
Bio-individualized medicine.
Bio-individualized medicine. It, and that's something that you practice. Is that right?
Yeah, I actually trademarked it. I created it.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
So what is bio-individualized medicine?
Well, it's actually, for those older people amongst your listeners, will remember their general practitioner or their family doctor, let's say back in the 60s, the old Marcus Welby type. In other words, somebody who, you know, came to your house when you were sick, knew everything, knew you, and, you know, if you had to go to a specialist, you went to a specialist, the specialist would barely talk to you and say, I'll call your doctor, and then we'll call your doctor, and then your doctor will call you and say, look, this is what's going on. That's who you believed. We don't have that anymore. We have a plethora of specialists. Bioindividualized medicine is an attempt to return practitioners to that old GP status. The things that I teach in there are six major points that we should be looking at to make sure that we don't miss anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes epigenetics and the indicators there, neurology, endocrinology, and immunology, and the interrelationship between those things. Mitochondrial function and the patency of the cell membrane.
Oh, but this is incredible. So these are a lot of things that our listeners might not be familiar with. That you mentioned that the number one cause of illness was destruction of the cell?
Right. The master of the cell is the cell membrane.
Mm-hmm.
And many things, chronic inflammation, will rip those cells open. And once those cells' membranes are not functioning, what's supposed to be in comes out, what's supposed to be out goes in, you're not transferring proteins, whole mess of different things.
Mm.
The cell becomes toxic and dysfunctional, and the basis of all life is in the cell.
Amazing. So when you talk about epigenetics, a lot of people might not understand that term. What does that mean?
Epigenetics is what is commonly known out there as genetics, and people will be familiar with MTHFR, the various genes that people look at and say, this is what's making me ill. Okay, I'm not going to go through all the various pathways and the different genes and so forth, but the information that's out there is misleading, to say the least. Tons of people will get genetic tests done to see what's making them ill. And really, it's just they're not put into the pathways, and the indicators are slight at best, and you have to use it as advisory. But unless you're very well trained in that area, you're not going to know what pathways may be involved because you're not going to know how to assess them. So often I will take somebody's genetic test, and I could look at them and say, okay, this is one of the reasons you have anxiety, because you tend to have very high dopamine, and when you get angry, it hangs on for a while, even longer than you think. But because you're mature, you don't show it, but it hangs on for a while. And I can see that in the genes. How it expresses is usually expressing through our bodies in either the immune system, the endocrine system, or the neurological system. Okay, and those systems talk to each other constantly. Mm-hmm. So one goes off, the others go off. The basic unit of energy that we have is the mitochondria. And very few people truly know how to repair that.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of the doctors that actually discovered how to, you know.
Excellent.
And that's when we got down to the fact that if we don't repair the cell membrane, at least put consideration to that, then nothing's going to heal.
Right. Well, I'm thinking about when you're talking about this, the teachings of Bruce Lipton.
Mm-hmm.
He talks a lot about epigenetics, and he talks about how we can enhance the cell function through our thoughts, through programming our mind. So it gets back to cleansing our mind as a source of healing.
That's how it's physically done.
And so I'm very interested in that, of course, as a truth student of unity. And believe me, the Fillmores also dealt with not taking in a lot of toxins. They were vegetarians and they were organic mm-hmm. farmers. And they led a pretty healthy and clean lifestyle. A lot of singing and
they put it all together. That's great.
And, you know, healthy foods and a healthy environment, a healthy community. And I think all of that is what we're trying to accomplish here in this modern day, even coming from various backgrounds and a lot of different stimulus, a lot more stimulus than they had then. But I would love to share a little bit of how Charles Fillmore was looking at producing the results that you were talking about through the spiritual approach.
Mm-hmm.
He says, it has been proved, and you're talking about science has proved it.
Mm-hmm.
It has been proved again and again that there is a definite relation between the thoughts of man and the conditions of his body.
Absolutely.
It is a striking fact that even back in the time of Moses, the health of the people was considered of great importance and was always mentioned in connection with their spiritual welfare. If they were obedient to the law or practicing spiritual principles, they kept in good health. If they were disobedient or they didn't practice spiritual principles, they fell sick. The same law that brought about these results has always been operative, and it is active in our midst today. Faith in God or the spiritual principle as the health of his people and the obedience to divine law, to the divine law of being, brings health. Distrust or separation produces ill health. So I think that's...
Remember that the greatest... Everything, ill health is brought on by oxidative stress or stress. One of the great creators of that is psychological stress, okay, or emotional stress. The Hanselia way back in 1936 proved that if you have a bad attitude and you're negative, you're going to get ill more often. That science went from psychoimmunology to psychoneuroimmunology and very many permutations, but the psycho portion is really spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so can you heal your body directly from spirit? And there are examples of that. Does a combined approach probably handle most things? Yes. I think the thing I want your listeners to understand is that you don't have to choose between. You can do it all at once.
Wonderful.
You should do it all at once. Not in tandem, but if you really want to heal from difficult illnesses, putting the spiritual/psychological treatment in by whatever mechanism you decide, and it doesn't matter what the name is. The matter is that you take your spirit, your attitude, your psychology, your heart, your faith, put that in, inclusive of what you're doing physiologically, and you're going to see quantum leaps of improvement in your condition.
Wonderful. Excellent. Dr. Jess, this is amazing. I'm so happy to have you here today. I'm feeling better just talking with you.
I'm honored to be here.
And I would like to close this out. We're getting to the end of our time. And
okay.
I would like to close this out with something from Eric Butterworth's classic book, Discover the Power Within You. There's a chapter in this book, I think everyone should read it. It's Jesus' formula for healing.
Cool.
And he says, man has a built-in capacity for health. This is the evidence of man's divinity, Charles Fillmore says. Health, real health, is from within and does not have to be manufactured in the without. It is the normal condition of man, a condition true to the reality of his being. There is a divinity in man which is the whole and perfect activity of God. God's will is the ceaseless longing of the Creator, working to perfect himself, herself, in that which he or she has created. And I love that perspective, that the Creator is always working to perfect his or herself in us. And so
that's a truism.
Yeah. Thank you for doing that and spending your life and making it your life work to help us all to do that. I'm honored to call you friend and to have you part of our congregation.
And are you. I often say in our groups that, you know, I'm grateful for being the hands and fingers of God, because I realize that all this advanced stuff that I have studied, I would never be able to make these connections without God. And often speaks to me, probably not in the voices, but I get feelings because I'm a feeler. And when I follow those feelings, I'm always going in the right direction. And I know where that comes from. Okay. And I know I have the right intention. And it's wonderful to see people who weren't improving, or children who are autistic, resolve and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I realize it's not me, it's God.
Yes. Amen. Wonderful. So thank you each and every one for joining us today. And remember that the power of God is working through you. Healing is the natural state of humanity. And let us be about it. Let us go out and be the light of the world. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you next time on A World Powerfully Transformed.
Thank you, each and every one, for tuning in to this special edition of A World Powerfully Transformed, a Unity on Cape Cod podcast. If you would like to support this program or find out more about Unity on Cape Cod and our Sunday services, please visit our website, unityoncapecod.org, or stop by our spiritual center at 147 Walton Ave in Hyannis, Mass. We would love to get to know you. Be blessed and remember to be a blessing. This podcast was made possible in part through a grant from Unity Worldwide Ministries and the Templeton Foundation.